The Christian life is not that of an observer, but of one who is involved in the action. We are not spectators sitting in the stadium watching the team play. We're members of the team who are giving our best energies to overcome a powerful opponent. One of the wise words of admonition found in Holy Scripture is stated in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That verse of Scripture tells us four things about the nature of the Christian's armor. It informs us the armor is divine, spiritual, complete, and personal. So consider with me the nature of the Christian's spiritual armor. First, the Christian's armor is divine. It is called the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 10, verse 11, and verse 13. Three times the emphasis is made on its being the armor of God. But what does it mean that it is the armor of God? Well, it could mean the armor is what God Himself wears. That is, it is God's armor. But one would wonder, however, why God would need to wear an armor to protect Himself from His own creatures. There's no indication in the Holy Scripture that God needs or wears an armor. So there must be a meaning other than that. That it is the armor of God might mean that it is the armor which comes from God, which is given of God to the people of God. And that must be the meaning here in Ephesians chapter 6. Now look at the parts of that armor. It is made up of truth, righteousness, faith, salvation, word of God, and prayer. Those are not things which come from man's natural talents or unregenerated nature. Those are gifts and graces available from God only. So those parts of the armor are not needed in pursuit of the affairs of the world. They're needed in the spiritual warfare, wherein one stands with God against the devil. Only they can protect us against the wiles of the devil. Do not expect to receive the armor of God by natural birth. Do not expect to receive it by human effort. Do not expect to receive it from any source or person other than God Himself. As the armor of God, it is conferred by God. You will receive His armor as you submit to the lordship of His Son, Jesus Christ. For the armor is God's armor and must be received and used under His direction. Second, the Christian's armor is spiritual. Now there are three things which emphasize the spiritual nature of the armor that God provides. First, it is given to be used in opposing a spiritual enemy. Ephesians 6:12 reads, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Look at the list of our opponents. Not one man is among them. Not one of the creatures of earth is among them. Each of them and all of them relate to the unseen world of the supernatural realm. We need spiritual weapons for a spiritual warfare. But we see also that the armor is spiritual in that it is given to be used in a spiritual kingdom. When the Roman governor asked Jesus, "Are you a king?" Our Lord responded, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Since the kingdom of God is not natural but spiritual, the weapons of our warfare in that kingdom must be spiritual also. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you, and it is spiritual as God reigns in your inner life and does His will through you. We can see further that the Christian's armor is spiritual in that it is composed of spiritual elements. Now we know the Christian armor is spiritual when we consider the pieces of which it is composed. It is made up of a belt, which is truth, a breastplate, which is righteousness, a shield, which is faith, shoes, which are the gospel, a helmet, which is salvation, a sword, which is the Bible, and all of that is brought to God and dedicated to Him with prayer. Such pieces indicate a spiritual warfare is in progress. We fight a spiritual war with these spiritual weapons. 2 Corinthians 10:3 and 4 reads, "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." There are spiritual weapons to be used in a spiritual warfare. There is the Christian armor which enables him to stand firm until the battle is ended, and we praise God. Third, the Christian armor is complete. And that is why we're called upon to put on the whole armor of God and nothing else. It is enough. It is all we need to put to flight the enemy and gain the victory over him. What did Paul mean when he wrote, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus"? What did Peter mean when he wrote, "According as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue"? What did Paul mean when he wrote in yet another place, "God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work"? See, each passage teaches us that God's provision is sufficient. God's armor is complete. Look at the indications of that sufficiency in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. "All grace, always, all sufficiency, all things, all good work." Is that five alls? Well, in very truth, there are six. The "you" is plural, and it means you all, each and all of you. And we could ask for no more than that. Philippians 4:19 assures us that God will give to us according to his riches in glory. Now, that term "according to" means in proportion to. How much riches does God have in glory? It is beyond our imaginations. In relation to his riches, however, he gives with such generosity to us, and we can only say, praise his name. Fourth, the Christian armor is personal. Notice the appeal for personal involvement in taking up and using the Christian armor. Put on the whole armor of God. Take unto you the whole armor of God, having your loins girt about with truth, your feet shod. Notice the personal actions involved in the use of the armor. Stand, wrestle, withstand, quench, take, pray, watch. You see how personal it is? See how involved you are to be in equipping yourself with the armor and then using it to oppose evil? The Christian life is not that of an observer, but of one who is involved in the action. We are not spectators sitting in the stadium watching the team play. We're members of the team who are giving our best energies to overcome a powerful opponent. God wants no one to sit idle. We are saved to serve. So do not hesitate to be involved in the service of God. The greatest delight of my heart through the years has been to be God's agent of blessing through Christian service. Put on the whole armor of God. It is divine, spiritual, complete, and personal, and you can wear it to victory. Father, we rejoice at your provision of the spiritual armor we wear, and we recognize we're without protection except as we receive it from you. So thank you for enabling us to be strong against the devil. We accept by faith all that you have provided, and we commit ourselves to Christian service, to faithful service. In Jesus' name, amen.